if I slur any words or say something funnier than I usually say, it's not because I'm on anything. I had a bridge put in up here on this side over 20 years ago that this week the base of that bridge collapsed and jammed up into my gums. So today I went through a 4-hour oral surgery where they took out a tooth and then put a bone graft into that location, and the bridge had cut through the middle of the bridge part, and they fixed that, and then they capped the third one. So about 2 hours ago, the numbness started going away. So I don't know what's going to come out, but just letting you know. Philippians chapter 4 is where we'll be. And if I slobber, please let me know. Philippians chapter 4. On Sunday night, Brother David made the statement that occasionally a verse you read over and over all through your life sometimes will just jump off the page and grab you with something that you've never seen before. And I have such a verse, and I'd like to share that with you tonight. And it's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 5. Philippians 4, verse 5. The Apostle Paul says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." In this small letter that Paul wrote to the believers, he repeats a number of different times how much he loves these people, and he's so grateful for their faith and their service that they showed in their Christian life. In our Sunday school class, we're nearly to the end of our studies in this book, and I've so enjoyed the candor that Paul had as he emphasized how much the Philippian believers had supported him in founding the church at Philippi and also the many churches thereafter as he served with them in many other places. One of the reasons that he was able to be grateful for their faith in Philippi is that they lived their lives in Christ. In fact, that's the theme of this letter. These four chapters here, the theme is in Christ. Whether you're a new believer or someone who's been saved for many, many years, it's paramount that you live your Christian life in Christ. Now, on the surface, that may seem like a very simple statement, but in reality, it's not. It's so easy. In fact, it's just natural for us to become so busy with what we got going on in our lives, with our jobs, with our families, with the pressures that mount in our lives. It's so easy for us to spend much more time on all of that than we do with our time in trying to be in Christ, spending time in His Word, spending time on our knees in prayer. It's a shortcoming that I have. I'm at the top of that list of names who need to improve on this. And I catch myself over and over in my Christian life needing to improve that part of my life. We forget sometimes, because we're so busy with all of that, we forget how much He delights in us just coming to Him in His Word. Giving Him the first part, or at least the best part, of our day. Too often we let all of that crowd us out, and we allow the time that we spend, which this is far worse, we let the time that we spend entertaining ourselves, we do that from time to time, don't we? We let that become much more important than the time we spend in His Word. Contrast that with what the Apostle Paul did. He literally spent his life living in Christ. The actions that he took, the response that he had to others, the responses that he made to others, and more importantly, even his thoughts, his thinking, were filtered through and influenced by his living in Christ. We don't have much time to go into much detail, but I want to highlight some verses in these four chapters that show that he lived his life in Christ. And I'll read these quickly because we don't have much time, but I'll start in chapter 1. You can turn there, or you can just listen to them as I read them. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11 says, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." The verses leading up to this have to do with our growing in our faith and becoming a firmly grounded believer. And he says in verse 11 that the only way we can do that is by being filled with fruits of righteousness that come by Jesus Christ. Verse number 12, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, brethren, to the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all the other places. Paul looked at his captivity in prison to be a part of being in Christ. He considered his jail time. That's what those words, bonds in Christ, in verse 13 means. It was a privilege for him to do that because he was doing it in Christ. Look down in verse number 18. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. In the verses leading up to this one, Paul had mentioned that some of those guys who had preached the cross of Christ, they did it out of envy or strife or maybe jealousy of his ministry, or who knows. But the point is their motives were not right. And so Paul still rejoiced because of the fact that Christ was being preached. Even though the motive wasn't right, Christ was still being preached. And he could do that because that was the paramount important thing in Paul's life, to be in Christ. Verse number 20 says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Here he states that the most important thing for him is that Christ is magnified and glorified in his body. Whether that meant to be freed from prison, to be beaten in prison, or to be killed for preaching Christ in prison, he glorified because it was being done for Christ. Look in verse number 21. For to me to live is Christ. You can't get any plainer than that. And to die is gain. Look down in number 27. Only let your conversation be. Now, conversation just means, it comes from a Greek word which means citizenship. And it means our way of life, what we say, how we act, what we do. And so he says, only let your conversation, how you act, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Verse number 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Here he tells us that any suffering we do for Christ should be a badge of honor, because it's done on behalf of Christ. And then we go to chapter 2. And chapter 2 is all about us loving each other. Verse number 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he goes on in the following verses to show Christ as an example who left the glories of heaven. He was equal with his Father, and yet he went to heaven and became a man and died on a cross because he loved others. He loved me and you. This was the mind of Christ, and that's what we should exemplify in our life as a child of God. Verse number 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And here we see Paul's belief that ultimately you and I will be standing before Christ. And so Paul lived with that in mind. He made his decisions from day to day because he knew he needed to be in Christ and would stand before Christ one day to give an accounting of what he's done. Verse number 2 in chapter 3. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Here Paul is drawing a contrast between false teachers, evil workers, and even those who place their trust in outward actions like the act of circumcision. And many were doing just that during these times. And he's saying that what's truly important is not an external act, not some routine that we do on the outside, but it's to have a sincere heart as we worship the Lord and as we rejoice in Jesus Christ, not the external things of this life. Verse number 7, but what gain things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Once again, in the preceding verses, he explains that. He told us how he had been given, he had spiritual credentials that were above and beyond everyone else before he met Christ. But he gave all that up and gladly did it so he could gain the position of being in Christ. Verse number 8. This is a doozy here, these next three verses. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, what? That I may win Christ. Verse number 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by him, that I may know him. Those three things, I call them the trilogy of these three verses. Verse number 8, that I may win Christ. That's what he wanted to do. Verse number 9, and be found in him. Verse number 10, that I may know him. You think the Apostle Paul thought this was pretty important? I think so. Verse number 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is using language there of the races, the Olympic races that they had back then. He spent 3 years in Ephesus, and in Ephesus they had a yearly race where 100,000 people would come, and in that time that had to be a very big thing. And here he's using the analogy of a race, and he says, look, I am going for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now that's not an earthly world, or an earthly prize, it's not an earthly word. It's not an earthly goal, but Paul's prize, his end goal, is to be caught up and eventually, ultimately, be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And he wants to reflect that in his life right now. So, I said all that to say that Paul's great ambition in life was to be in Christ. And I could learn a lot from that. And maybe you could as well. But we get down to our text in chapter 4, verse 5, and he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So I wanted to know, I've read over this verse hundreds of times, and I wanted to know really what Paul was talking about. Now, before we get into that word moderation, let's note a few things. First of all, that whatever moderation is, it's to be known. It's to be something that's apparent. It's on display. In fact, they tell us that the Greek word for known in that verse is a knowledge that comes from experience. So whatever this moderation is, it's to be known because people have the experience of dealing with you and you have this moderation. And he says this moderation is unto all men, not just Christians. Not just your brother and sister in Christ. Not to people who act like you and talk like you. And then he says at the end of the verse, the Lord is at hand. John MacArthur says that's a phrase that was used in that time, and it means nearness in time or in space. Both of those meanings apply here. The Apostle Paul is talking about standing before the Lord one day. He's coming back. At any moment, he's going to come as a thief in the night, and he wants to be ready when that happens. But it also means in space, nearness in space, because he's right there for us. If we're a child of God, we have the Holy Spirit residing in our being, and he's there to assist us. He's there to talk to us. He's there to help us make decisions that we need to make. Look down in verse number 15 of chapter 3. He makes a statement, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and look at this. Now that word, first of all, that word perfect just means spiritually mature, okay? Not a perfect saint or anything like that. And those who are who have the mind to be spiritually mature, he says, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. That tells me that if I am in Christ, which means if I am in the will of God, if I am in the Word of God, if I am communicating with Him, if I am seeking for Him to control my life and to direct my life, then He's going to tell me what I need to do. So He's near that way. But it says this moderation should be known unto all men because the Lord's coming and because it's near at our fingertips. So what is moderation? I looked that word up. I'm a word nut. I like to look things up. And the reason I like to look things up, and Brother Chris and David have explained this so well hundreds and hundreds of times, is, you know, we don't speak King James English anymore, do we? No, we don't. We want to know what the Apostle Paul meant by this right here. They tell us that this word, the root word for moderation, means this right here, that which is appropriate. So I looked at that word and I looked at that verse, and I wish I had time to show you. You can do this at home, but Paul really doesn't go into great detail in the verses above or in the verses after to further explain this. This is kind of left up to our reasoning. And I'm glad it was, because it caused a question in my mind. Appropriate for what? What's he talking about there? So I went a little bit further, and I have access to about 20 Greek New Testament commentaries that have been given to me over the years, and some are online. So I started going through them, and I got even more confused. Listen to some of these. Not only what is appropriate, but reasonableness, with sweet gentleness, that which is fit or suitable, yieldedness, that means I yield to you and you yield to me, patient, kindness, considerate, mild, generous, readiness to forgive when wronged. And I was thinking, well, why did Paul use a word, you see, in the Greek language, a word can have 20 shades of meaning. It's not like English. If we want to have 20 different words, we're going to use 20 different words, not them. Why did Paul use a word that had so many different meanings? And you know why I think it is, as we close here in just a moment? It's because it's the tone of the word. It's the attitude of the word. Have a fire for God. Be in Christ. Be faithful to the word of God. Stand strong to your convictions. But as you do that, do what's appropriate for the moment. Are you in the same room with everybody there has been saved 50 years? Well, then there's one way you can talk. Do you have five or six brand new Christians in front of you? There's another way you have to talk, because they're not mature enough. Doing what is appropriate. William Barclay, one of those commentators, said one of the most untranslatable Greek words in the Greek language is this word, moderation. And so the Apostle Paul used that word in this verse. And it's easy to have a question about why he used it if he didn't explain it, but it's the concept. You can go back to those same passages, if you wrote them down, that we read, and you can see that this is how Paul thought. Paul thought in moderation when he said, hey, look, I'm in prison, but that's okay because the gospel is being furthered. He's being moderate with his thinking. He's okay with him being in prison because the gospel is being advanced in this world. So when Paul says, let your moderation, I think what he probably means is, let your moderation be known unto all men. He wants us to live in Christ, like he spent four chapters telling us, have strong convictions that come out of God's word, but at the same time, do what is right, what is appropriate for the moment. And sometimes what is appropriate is what is gentle. And sometimes what is appropriate is forgiving. And sometimes what is, you could go down through that entire, sometimes it is yieldedness, sometimes it's patience. And so Paul says, yeah, have a strong conviction and be in Christ and have actions in your life, do things in your life that honor the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But as you're doing that, you're doing it in front of all these people. Some of them are lost. I'm paraphrasing this. Paul didn't say this, but this, I believe this is a good way we can think about it. As you're doing all that for the Lord, you're dealing with people and you do what's appropriate with them. Great words for us. As we meet in this building and people walk through those doors, we have no idea who they are. And we talk to them with the appropriate words. We talk to them, we yield ourselves to them. We want to see them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we, you know, that's not being two-faced. That's just doing what he wants us to do. We want to see that man or woman come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, or a Christian be furthered in their faith. And so we moderate our words, okay? We moderate how we act because we want to make an impression upon this person for Christ. That's what I got out of it, okay? Brother Chris.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you guys for being faithful. Let me remind you again, Saturday, anybody that can come help at 4 o'clock, we would be very, very grateful. There will be no Wednesday night services next week, okay? As far as in here, we'll be having Vacation Bible School. If you want to get out and come be a part of that, we want you to, but we won't be teaching and singing in here. Okay, let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer. And Larry and Karen will be praying for you guys, okay? And also trying to be a blessing to you tomorrow. So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Landon, will you lead us in prayer, please?